Hello to all the solopreneurs, startup and small business owners. Cheers to you. Those with the courage to set out with an idea and bring it into reality. Maybe very quickly you realize that running a business takes all kinds of skills. Many you have, but maybe some you don't. The Good for Business show is designed to help your business grow by having fun but valuable conversations with the best industry leaders across sales, marketing, content creation, and mindset. So let's get into this week's conversation with your host, Michelle J. Raymond. Global greetings to everyone. Welcome to the Good for Business show. I'm Michelle J. Raymond, your host for today, and I'm joined by the wonderful Christy Flora from Flora and Order. Time management and goal setting is your go-to. Tell people a little bit more about your business.
Thanks, Michelle. So through Flora and Order, I help people achieve more, get things done that they've been avoiding, that they're not getting to, and help them get more peace and freedom with their time in a holistic kind of manner, work and personal life, and just making sure it's all working. So looking at time from a kind of life management perspective rather than just getting more and more things done. Looking at it from a holistic point of view. And as you said, do that through time management strategies, organizing, goal setting, and everything else that people need to have more balance in their life.
Balance? Is that a real thing? Like, is that not just a work of fiction? So I wanted to get you on here. It's purely selfish on my behalf. And obviously we've crossed paths a number of times, but I saw one of your posts and it just stood out. I was like, is she talking to me? Can you see inside my brain? And it was about like just the overwhelm that comes from someone like myself, who I like to think of myself as innovative, visionary. Like I've got all these ideas in my head. Some days that feels like a curse, not a blessing. So I wanted to ask you, because I'm sure there's so many other small business owners or business owners in general that have a head full of ideas, but how do you get them out of there and into reality? Like, what are some of the strategies that if you were to work with me, what kind of things would you tell me? Like, how do I get it out of here and into reality?
It's such a common problem. And so a lot of my clients, they'll come to me and they're just like, I have a Google Keep, I have Trello, I have Asana, and it's just full and full of ideas. Like, and just like, you know, a sea of ideas. They're just drowning in ideas and they're just not sure which one to pick out, which one to actually focus on. And because our brains, this is what they do, they just keep coming up with more and more stuff. I remember the video that you're referencing. So it was like being an ideas machine. So our brains are just constantly thinking up so much content for us. And so when I'm working with clients, and there's two parts to it. So we're looking at what they've originally come up with, so this collection of ideas and thoughts, and going through that to actually look at, well, what's actually something that we want to action versus was it just something that we just thought of in the moment but we can let it go. And that's really freeing for people to realize that just because our brain has come up with something doesn't mean we have to do everything. Like, and this is something I had to work through too, that I may write something on a to-do list, but it doesn't mean that I have to do it. It doesn't mean that just because it's written down that you've written it down, so it has to be done. Like, it's not the case. You can cross it out. You can delete it.
And that's mind-blowing, because in my head, sometimes I have these moments where I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a to-do list. I'm going to get this thing out. I'm going to get it all out of my head. I'm going to write it all down and I'll just tick it off. And funny enough, when I set up my business, you'll laugh at this. I decided that what I was going to do, I was going to write down all the things that I needed to do to set up my business and then I'd be done. So I wrote it all down with a little checkbox next to it, nice and neat. And then I worked my way through bit by bit. And then all of a sudden I realized that I was trying to do it so quickly. Like, it was never actually possible in reality. And then all of a sudden I find myself just going, okay, I've ticked it all off, then my business is done. And then I went, oh my God, it's never done. Like, it's never done. Like, this is the thing that I had to wrap my head around, that it didn't matter how many items I checked off, I was all of a sudden, there was going to be new, I'm going to reinvent myself. I'm going to redo my website because it's not really what I set out to do in the beginning. And so I wondered, okay, so is your method, you know, to my madness, is it like taking it out of your head? Does it work to actually write it down somewhere? What do you actually do with all of these things before you can assess them?
Yeah, well, definitely. And I love that. That was a realization that I've had to work through my life too, that like it's never done. Like there'll always be more things to do, and that goes in all area of life, and it can be frustrating.
Absolutely.
Initially, so going back to, so when a client comes up with, you know, this whole list of things that they've got going on, and they're like, well, how do I sort this? Going through that list and actually seeing what are tasks and what are just ideas. So I had a client who had so many things like all jumbled up together. And so it was a mixture of reminders and tasks. So if we think about a reminder, as say so the task is, I want to write a blog post, but the reminder is like, oh, I really liked to write something about this particular idea, or someone said something about that and that sparked off a thought in my head. So those are reminders to the actual task. So if you can separate out those two topics, so make those distinctions in your list, and also when you're actually having an idea and you're like, is this a reminder? Does it fit into something that I'm already doing? Or is it an actual new task itself? So in that way, so sorting those initial ideas, Lillianne has just said, do you specific method to prioritize or dismiss an idea? So it's taking that idea and looking at, does it already factor into what we're currently working with? Is it a new idea, or is it completely, or is it already something that we're working with? So having those kind of different systems in place initially. So we're looking at working through those ideas that we have currently and making sure that we've sifted out reminders to tasks and making sure that they're clear. And I do think getting everything out of your head as much as possible into the one trusted system.
Really, okay, doesn't matter if it's like my notepad, does it matter if it's like in my Outlook or, you know, Asana or Trello or one of those other sites, does it matter which one you use, or is it just the one you use all the time? Like, how does that work?
So there's three steps in it. So it's like you're collecting, you're sorting, you're tracking. So with collecting, maybe we're using post-it notes, we're using scraps of paper, we're doing voice notes, we're emailing ourselves, like however people are capturing things on the go, during meetings, in the corner of the paper when we're having a meeting.
Again, are you watching?
I've got a webcam in your place.
Yeah, is this two-way that's going on here? I feel like I recently got a Remarkable and I love it because it's like the whole electronic notebook, but it doesn't have any other distractions. So I'm a mad scribbler. I have ideas of notes, of reminders, but it's then taking it out of that and putting it somewhere else. So I don't forget.
Because you're collecting everything and collecting all those ideas and then moving that in, so sorting it into a tool that then you're able to then track those projects to completion. So we're wanting to really get those three steps happening, because a lot of people get stuck in the collecting. And then it's, I know I have that post-it somewhere, but
That's what happened. I had 10 different notebooks that I would just grab, whichever one was closest. And then all of a sudden I would start writing and I wrote everything down. And then it would be the follow-up side of things. And I used to have an easy system while I worked in an office and I was in that routine. Setting up my own business seemed to throw that routine out the window a bit, because I was like working from home, and that had its own challenges with lockdown. And then all of a sudden it's that routine wasn't there. So my method went out the window. As I said, I use Remarkable just because I can then email it to myself or take it from search through my notes. So I love that whole sorting thing. As far as like the last step, what do you do with it to make sure it's completed? Is it something that you have to put like a deadline in a diary? Like, how do you make sure that stuff happens? Like, how, you know, can you teach someone like me like accountability, or I don't know if that's the right word, but how do you get to that third step?
Yeah. So the tracking of a project, if you like, it's really going into the value of planning. So a lot of people don't dismiss planning as I don't have the time to plan. Or we've all heard that old adage, I'm going to forget it now. If you don't have the time to plan, that means you definitely need to be planning. Like you need more planning than everything. So taking the time to actually plan, to look at those ideas, expand it, and you know, look at what a task is actually looking is demanding of us. So what are all the steps involved in? And this is where a good brain dump comes into play. So taking the time to think, what are the things that are coming out of this one task that I've written down, and then getting those tasks into chronological order. And so then you'd have the kind of the plan outline in your trusted system. And then in your planning times, you look at how to move that into the calendar. So we might be looking, some projects are months long, some are weeks long. And so we're trying to track when to bring those tasks into the calendar, when to bring them in and when to them. So tracking them.
That seems like, you know, such an obvious thing when you say it. Like I'm sitting here nodding my head going, of course you do that, Christy. Like that makes sense. You've got to track it. You've got to put it somewhere. The reality is, up until recently, and a shout out to Lil, who's my head of operations and helping me out in the background now, what I used to do is I would say, yes, you would invite me on a podcast, a LinkedIn Live. I had to write content. I wanted to write an article. I was a yes person to every opportunity that came my way. I didn't put where I write content for my clients. I didn't put that into my diary. So the reality was I was saying yes to things which I didn't have the time available to actually make happen unless I start expanding the hours that I do, which has consequences down the track. And I'm sure that all the time with your clients, where the answer is not improve the system. It seems to be, let's just do more and more hours until you run out of hours in a day. So I love that you've said that, because I think it's easy to skip over. And for someone like me, especially, but when I got it into it's my Outlook calendar, so I can see it wherever I am. Now I actually put time aside in my diary to do the writing for my clients. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I haven't done this. And my brain doesn't feel like it's fried trying to remember what I have outstanding. And I think what you talk about actually allows people to be more productive, because you're not trying to remember everything. Are our brains wired to try and remember stuff? Is that what it does?
Yeah, exactly. Our brains are for new ideas, not for holding on to things. So that's why, say you're in a yoga class or whatever, and you're like, oh, I need milk. Oh, there's that great idea for a blog post. Or, oh, I need to, you know, call Stephanie. And then you walk out and you're like, what were those three things? And you can only remember buy milk. That's why, because your brain is do all these things, but it can't remember them all, which is also why telephone numbers are the length that they are, just because we know we can't remember anything longer than that.
So I want to know in the comments, anybody else that's like me, when you do a meditation or some kind of along those lines where you have to keep your mind still and not get distracted, like, is there anyone, let us know in the comments if you're like me and you are thinking of milk, oh, I must call this person, must do this, like it's just crazy. And I can see Regina is, yes, shout out to Regina, because she is on my side. She and I feel like it's not that uncommon. Is that what you would say? I feel like it's just me, but I'm judging by the comments that we're getting that perhaps this is like human nature as opposed to just me personally. Is that right? Please tell me yes.
Definitely. The more I get into meditation and things like that, the more I think they're right about, it's just about the act of coming back to your breath, not so much about going completely blank. Like that you're just, there will be the thoughts that come and go, and that you're just like, okay, and bring it back and bring it back. Yeah. One of my favorite things is just to set some time aside for some daydreaming with a notepad next to me and capture all those thoughts, just because for me, I do feel a bit pingy. So it's good just to capture all those pings and go, oh, okay, I think that's it. Like now I can focus more on my breath, and then new ideas will come up, and if they're good, I capture them.
It's important for business owners to actually set aside time to do things like that. Is that something when you work with your clients, do you deliberately go about setting downtime into the trusted source? Or, you know, is that part of what makes a successful business owner? Like, talk me through that.
Yeah, definitely. I work a lot with clients with their morning and evening routines and just helping people to carve out some time for downtime, for daydreaming time, for just downtime, doing nothing. And it really helps if you notice when you have your best ideas. Often it's when you are relaxed or like you're having a shower and you're like, that was the best idea ever.
Always. Yeah. Someone needs a waterproof notebook, waterproof notebook for the shower, I'll buy it.
Exactly. So it's like having more of those moments really encourages more growth and more success, I think. And it's by like looking at people's calendars, I'll help them do proactive relaxation. So we go through their calendars and actually block out time where we're like, relax, like go, you know, and go into you're socializing now, you're relaxing now. And because a lot of the time people, if they're using their calendar in a really effective way, if you look in and you have some blank space, you're like, oh, I'm going to cram it with this and this. But then I'm like, so you flip it and you put relax in there and it's, oh, okay. That time is not for doing this and this and this. It's actually for relaxation, which is just as important as doing all the other things that we need to do.
Because I actually find that there was a time, especially when I set up my business, that I wasn't actually being productive. I was just sitting with my laptop and I felt like I was working because I had the laptop right there beside me. And the fact was I wasn't in a state where I was in the zone is what I call it, when I was just ready to do stuff. But I thought, I'm a business owner. If I don't sit here and work on my business, which in my head was sitting with a laptop, it was completely ineffective. And so what I've managed to do, we were just talking just before the show started, this, I think, ties into managing energy levels. So this came about from our conversation because I scheduled this live at 8 a.m. this morning, which for me was late. So I've already done a LinkedIn live with Christopher Johnson. I'd done one with him at 5:45. So I am on top of the world. I'm running it. And then you're like, Michelle, it's 8 o'clock. You're killing me. This is what happens. But when we're in corporate, you and I are both jammed into 9 to 5. That didn't work for me and it doesn't work for you. How can business owners manage their energy levels around this kind of thing?
I love working with people on this just because, in being in business, you do have that freedom of picking when you work. And we were talking about our very different schedules. And I don't know if this was the same for you, but I think occasionally I'm still shedding that traditional 9 to 5, you know, even after all these years. Sometimes I do get those guilts that, oh, I shouldn't be doing this at this time because it's a work hour. I'm like, no, stop. Like, you're not into it at the moment. Go do the other thing and then like maybe do some work on Saturday. That's cool. Like, it's your business. And that's something I help business owners with, is helping them gauge when are they best productive, when do they have the most energy, and also digging into when is the best time for specific tasks. So say they've got something scheduled into their calendar for Monday morning and they're like, I never get to that, I never do it, I always push it. And I'm like, why is it still on Monday? Let's change it to Thursday afternoon or something. And then they're like, oh wow, I always get to that on Thursday afternoon now.
It's like me. So this is what happens. So for whatever reason, I don't know where it started, but I write best my content for clients on Saturdays. There is something about Saturday mornings that is just the time when I can smash it out and I can do 10 times as much work in a shorter period of time than trying to spread it out over the week. And I don't know why, but that's just what works. But what I used to try and do was take 10 times longer during the week because I thought it was the best time and I didn't want to do it on my weekend. But like the fact is, I don't have a true weekend anymore by my choice. I have a choice to work on Saturday. I can have an afternoon nap on Mondays if that's what I want. And so I think where you say deconstructing the traditional 9 to 5 as business owners, what other things can business owners keep an eye out for? Like, how can we put flexibility into these?
I'm really big on observing ourselves. So when does it feel good? When is it feeling like a struggle? When are we feeling like that is our prime time? There are some exercises out there that you can actually track. So when your energy and feeling like a 9 at the moment, feeling like a 2, and you can see a graph at the end of the time period, just like where you're actually, your prime time is. And that flexibility also, like for me, I was working with a business coach and I said to her one day, I'm really not starting to like Mondays anymore. It was something when new in business, Mondays were exciting because I was doing my own thing. And she said, what do you want a Monday to be like? What do you, it's your business. What are like, what do you want it to do? And I'm like, I want no meetings and I want it to be research time and I want it to be flexible to go out and have lunch with people, maybe network, maybe do it with a friend. Like, I just want Mondays to be whatever. And it's really helped that, just changing that mindset. So it does take a little while to get out of that 9 to 5 just because we're entrenched in it, so trained to do this 9 to 5.
And sit at a desk between 9 to 5 and someone monitors you to make sure that you're there 9 to 5 and that you're not a minute late and that you don't take extra breaks and you don't do what works best for you. It's what's apparently best for the company that you may have worked for. And so this is the real challenge. I think it's so ingrained that sometimes trying to undo that, like, you can actually create your day. One of the other traps that I fell into, which I'm sure you see all the time as well, is when I was first starting out in my business, I said yes to anyone at whatever time they wanted me, on whatever day, for however long. And then all of a sudden I realized, because I had a bit more time at the back at the beginning, I was just like, yes. But as I got busier, then all of a sudden I was like, I keep doing things at 11 o'clock at night and then 7 o'clock in the morning because that's just going to blow my energy out of the water. I'm not good if I'm up late. It's okay if I plan for it, and I still do it from time to time, but I now know if I want to do like a midnight live stream with Brenda Mellor, who's a friend of mine in Detroit, I have to block out half of the next day. Now that means I have to do the work that was scheduled normally in that time before I do that live. And that's okay as long as I plan for it, you know, like, so there's like still flexibility in what you're saying, even though we're putting everything in a diary, because I got to tell you, right, confession time, I get scared of putting things in a diary. Like, I have avoided it like the plague because I feel like, oh, I'm locked into something. I don't know who's going to come and see. No one else sees my, but it was that, I could never plan holidays in advance. It wasn't just work. It was like my whole life was, I'll miss out on having fun if I wake up today and I want to do something else. And so what I found was I wouldn't complete things because there was no plan. There was no, it wasn't going to happen in reality. Do you break bigger projects? Is it important to break them down into smaller ones, or how would you structure something like that?
It's a really good point you make that make there. A lot of people are afraid of structuring their time, or especially creatives, they're like, oh God, it's going to stifle my creativity. And I like to think of it as like a structure actually gives you more freedom because you're actually keeping track of everything that you have, and you get to relax more because you're just like someone else. So the product, the tool, the calendar is taking care of it. Like, I can just
say that one more time. By adding the structure, you get more freedom and you get to relax more.
And it does take a little bit, especially the creatives. It takes a little bit of convincing to just give it a go, just try it. And they do find that there is more freedom in it because they can outsource it in a way. So yes, that's a very typical fear that, oh, it's going to be structured. But it's kind of to look at it like a template, like it's going to work 80% of the time. And this is especially why I like digital calendars, because it's so easy. With a drag of a mouse, you can move things around. So say you're sick one day and you're like, well, all of that is moving till next week or whatnot. You just drag it over with your mouse and it's done. So it's very flexible. I'm sorry, going back to your question. Sorry, I'm loving this discussion. My brain is like, ding, ding, ding.
Mine too. I'm just like, trying not to get sidetracked. Because I saw Lil's comment, and it's the same. what she's highlighting there is that some of us are geared this way and some of us are geared that way. We've all got different systems that we need, but I think there can be some common grounds between the planners and the non-planners, the structure versus non-structure. You can have it all, right? Even though it's in a diary, do you still get to have fun if it's all locked in?
Yeah, I know it sounds ridiculous, but like someone said the other day, like, oh, are you ever spontaneous? I'm like, I plan to be. And then look, there is the other way. I've worked with people who they're too structured, so they're missing out a bit on life. So there is that balance, and then that's a whole psychological conversation as well. But it's, yeah, there's that balance. And so I say to my clients, it's about finding your level of detail in the calendar, because some people go to the extent of like, when am I doing my laundry? When am I doing this? And other people are just, wow, I just keep it for work. Or other people, I know I needed everything. So it's really finding that balance for you. But I just wanted to touch on something that you said about always saying yes to things. And that goes back to Lillian's earlier question about prioritizing and those ideas. So something I suggest is running a new task, a new idea. Thank you.
She's on your side, I can assure you.
It sounds ridiculous, but it works.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So yes. Three questions you can ask yourself to, if something's come up your way and you're like, does this work? Is, so which of your big goals is it helping you achieve? So that's like tying into, have you looked into a kind of a vision of your life? And does it fit into one of those? Where in your calendar does it go? So does it belong in your calendar, and do you have a spot for it? And how long will it take? So a lot of the time I work a lot with people on their time estimating skills. So
honestly, your whole business blew me away. I was like, what? There's people that do that. Why? How does your business exist? And then I was like, look in the mirror, Michelle, like your business exists because of people like me that I have zero like concept of how long something would take. So I love that you do that.
Yeah, because it's the moment you start taking track of, oh, okay, I think a blog post takes 45 minutes to write, but then actually it's an hour. That changes everything in actually how much time you think you have for doing set tasks. So time estimation. Yeah. So going through those three questions really helps decide, is this a good idea? Do I have the time for it? Is it time to dismiss this one? Really hard.
You can see like there's just like sparks going off in my brain right now, and I hope the same's going for other people that are listening in either on the replay or what joining us here live today. I want to just keep talking, but I know that time management, we have to keep to time on this one, because time's important. It's the one thing that we can't buy, and that's the way that I choosing to look at it in 2022, is that you only have limited time and we most will use it effectively. So I'm encouraging everybody, if you are not already connected or following Christy on LinkedIn, then please reach out and connect with her, because she has these amazing tips and tricks along these lines that I just keep going, yes, I need that. So I'm sure that there's other people out there that would love to be able to work with you as well. So they can reach you on LinkedIn. And so tell us just very quickly, what are the key services that you offer people that you'd like to let them know about today?
Ah, yes, thank you. I offer a flexible 20 session program. So I just find that works best for people. You can start out weekly, start out fortnightly, drop it down, drop it up, move to monthly. And that's one-to-one. I just find that works best with working with people's unique situations and what they've got going on. Yeah, reach out. I'd love to see if it's a fit. And I do a monthly goal setting hour as well, but we'll be back next year, February to November. And I post about that regularly on LinkedIn, so look out for that.
I will absolutely. My goal for 2022 is to set some. I better keep an eye out for that one, because the goals lead to accountability and they lead to actually making stuff happen in reality, and that's realistically how you grow your business. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for getting up early. Thank you for managing your energy so that we could do this before you're ready to get going. But I do appreciate it. I've learned so much, as I'm sure everybody else has. And thanks for joining the Good Business Show. It's been fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. I don't want you to just listen to this episode. I want you to take action to grow your business. So let's connect on LinkedIn and continue the conversation over there. Find me at Michelle J. Raymond, and my company page is Good Trading Co. Cheers.